It's Open Line with Phil Johnson on Kelowna's information station, AM 1150. Stay tuned. We'll be opening the phone line shortly.
AM 1150 news time is 9:11. It's Tim Walbrick in for Phil Johnson on AM 1150's early edition. It's the open line. And if you want to get in on it a little bit later, we'll open the phone lines up at 250-862-2525. But feel free to participate via email and on Facebook. Daniel's monitoring that for us, AM 1150 on Facebook, and also live at am1150.ca. Joining me in studio is Simon Evans. He's CEO of BC's Human Resource Management Association. And you think of human resource management and human resources, and every company has a HR department, and it's really the machine that keeps everybody on track, keeps the motor running and keeps these things running smoothly in a company. And you need it. It's vital. But the association, kind of never really actually knew that there was an association like that. Simon, welcome to Kelowna.
It's my pleasure.
Glad to have you in the studio. It's always fun when someone can come into the studio. First, tell me a little bit about the BC Human Resource Management Association. You say it's been around for a long time.
It has indeed. There was a group back in 1942, March of that year, when they sat down, and I was looking at an old document there about 6 weeks ago. And the same issues that we have today, skill shortages, job shortages, demographic changes, how are we going to find people? And I think today, well, we got a lot of those today as well. And they've been looking at that. Why? Because Second World War was on. Half the population was in Europe or fighting the war in the Pacific somewhere, but they had a need at home.
Wow, the shortage is still there.
Yep.
It's incredible how things change and yet still stay the same. So is that part of the association's job, or do you consult with HR departments? What does the association do as a whole?
Well, the base of the association is, in fact, the collaboration of individuals in the HR profession, whether they be an entry-level HR assistant to the vice president of a large company. Mm. They have it's a volunteer-driven organization. They themselves volunteer to be a member of the association. They pay annual dues. And that we, as a business, run to make sure that there is communication. There's a whole bunch of services we provide, and I'll come to those in a moment if you wish.
Yeah. Well, let's go through some of those. I mean, I think, without a doubt, when you talk about HR and you've ever been in a meeting with someone from HR, it's exactly that. It is communication. It's sit down. Let's talk about how things work here and what the protocol is and the process of how things actually get laid out. Is that true?
Yeah, I think there's been a transition as well, remember.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back, you know, over the years, a lot of people have thought of HR or personnel as an administrative function. You know, it's processing the applicants, it's running the payroll, it's doing that. Today, totally, you know, that is part of.
Sure.
But we become now a business partner. We're at the C-suite. We're in the executive suite. The engagement of HR people now isn't just being a specialist in that knowledge of HR, but also understanding how their businesses work or their organizations work, and that is becoming more and more prevalent in today's world.
Is HR being outsourced for a lot of companies?
I think some of the transactional business is being outsourced, you know, but basically – there are many, I mean, within our association, we have over 5,200 individual members across province. Probably about 10% of those are consultants, both from large companies and also individuals. And here in Kelowna and the Okanagan, you've got many people who have their shingle up and personal services X, whoever they may be. Those people are engaged in that process in terms of coaching from an outside, especially in today's, in business in British Columbia. You have to remember, 80%+ is small business. Mm. Many of them don't have the profitability necessarily to have a dedicated HR person. So they look to contract outside of that to a third party.
So is that one of the services that you guys would provide, or would you, what would be a service that if I was a small company, why would I use the association?
If you were a small company, you'd be looking for assistance, for help. Who in my area could I get in touch with to help me with X? A job survey, you know, a search. some data on salary bands. You would then, you could phone us up and say, hey, who in Kelowna, who in Penticton, who in wherever, Keremias, right, wherever it might be, could phone and say, hey, have you got, and we'd give them, we're careful not to recommend anyone, you know, they're all professional members,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah.
So I'd say, well, here's three or four names.
Gotcha.
Or one of my staff would as well.
Yeah. What about you? How long have you been doing this?
I've been in HR. I didn't start in HR.
Where'd you start?
I started pumping gas at a pump gas station in England when I was about 17 years old.
When did you come over here?
I came in 74.
That's
and
right.
I got transferred. I was working, grew up in pumping gas. I went to Chevron in England when they were operating, and they transferred me out here in 74. They sent me out to Nelson and the Kootenays to be their area manager out there. And then one day they said, hey, would you go and be our training manager for dealers and bulk plants and all this type of stuff across the province? Myself and another guy ran the operation there. And then one day again, they said, well, would you go back into the line business, right? And, which I did. And then I moved on from there a few years in, back in 81.
Really? But you work in Vancouver. You're out of Vancouver.
Yes. The organization is based in Vancouver. What we did 7 years ago, in fact, we have a one-person office here in the Okanagan in Kelowna.
Okay.
Tim Reed is our member relations manager. We have another one in Victoria for the island. And then we have one down in the Fraser Valley, White Rock area, and another person in the office. We have a staff of about 22 people.
Kelowna is a really interesting market. There are a lot of baby boomers, a lot of that older demographic that are here. 25%, I think, makes up this city. Yet there's a real feel that it's slowly starting to become a university town.
Yeah.
And with, you know, over 14,000 or about 14,000 students now in the region through UBCO and Okanagan College. And then the idea here is to have all these people come to Kelowna, study, but so many end up leaving right away. And they go on to where their studies will take them. But there's a real drive, a notion to keep them here and to create something special, which is where we're starting to see this growth of Silicon Vineyard is what we're calling it. And we want to see tech really take off here. And I think a lot of people do because it's that next generational thing. You know, the Okanagan needs, yes, they have the orchards. Yes, we've got the wineries. You know, we've got tourism, which is great. It's kind of seasonal. But we need people here all the time just to really bolster real estate, you know, the rest of the economy, downtown, get people living downtown. So that demographic in Kelowna is changing.
Absolutely, but that's no different than anywhere, basically, in North America, let's put it that way. You know, here am I, a boomer myself. I think we were chatting just as I walked up the stairs. I said, you know, you've got me, you know, I'm 65, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm thoroughly enjoying my life, enjoying doing what I'm doing. And at the same time, I also understand that, you know, retirement today for somebody at the scale, I've seen many of my friends who've retired at 59 or 61, and after about 2 years of playing golf and going out on a trip somewhere, you know, they're saying, hang on a moment, my brain isn't being used.
Where,
you know, the older group are having to adapt what their lifestyle was going to be when they get 55 plus, well, let's put it that way. Similarly, right, the opportunity that now exists for the younger generation, right, and it's, you know, without standing for the beauty and the quality of life that can exist here in the Okanagan, because, you know, as I said earlier, I have a home in Vernon, so I enjoy it. But the reality is that there's a need for the individual person to recognize that they come to school in Kelowna at the campus up by the airport, right, or wherever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
That person takes those skills. And then he has or she have to, both of them have to look at where can they develop themselves. That's where it comes back, not just on the importance of the business world and the organizational world to create the Silicon Valley vineyards of the Okanagan and whatever. That's from a business thought leadership. The younger person has to say, well, how can I fit into that if I've come to school? Because one of the things that is we're seeing, the dramatic change, that if you the old days of having a high school education, it's, yes, you have to have that, but that's just a prerequisite to get into the university life, right?
Yeah.
Because close to 80% of the next generation are going to have skills, level training, university training, so that they've got that capability to take themselves. It's their brand and how they can adapt. So that's some of the answer to that question.
We'll talk more about that when we come back. I want to talk about, you know, you baby boomers who are hanging around a little too long And now you're not letting us out of middle management people get to the top. So we're going to talk about that and also the other profiling of a typical snapshot of a typical BC worker. Where do you find them? What are they doing and how are they managing? We'll do that and more with Simon Evans, CEO of BC's Human Resource Management Association, here in studio in Kelowna on AM 1150. AM 1150, it's Tim Olbrich in for Phil Johnson on a Tuesday morning on the open line here on AM 1150's Early Edition. Chatting with Simon Evans. He is the CEO of BC's Human Resource Management Association. We're kind of profiling the BC worker, the BC employee, and the changes and what's coming and how things possibly with the recession, with age, the boomers are now coming into their own of hitting that 65 marker and how things will look as we move forward here in the next few years. Simon, great to have you in here. I guess we've been having some interesting discussions just as the mics are off here, but, you're 65 now.
Yes, I will.
And, so why aren't you retiring? I mean, why aren't you?
Well, number one is I've always enjoyed work. And I found myself, you mentioned earlier that, that the opportunity for people to retire at 55 or 60 or whatever it might be, because that was the old world of work. People didn't live much after 65, or, 65 to 70.
And 60 is 65. Yeah. I mean, 70 now is not young at all.
No.
I mean, sorry, it's not old at all.
Thank you. Just about to correct you on that one. But, you know, so you've got a change there because people of our age now, the 60s and 65s, are much more active and at it. The other thing you've got is on the other end of the spectrum, birth rates in British Columbia and across Canada, the old adage of two plus kids, you know, per family, is now down into the 1.6, 1.7. Mm-hmm. Well, you suddenly take half a person out. Sounds wrong to say that. But,
out of the equation.
Out of the equation. Where do you get to? Because it means that as we now, the boomers are going to, are going to start retiring. Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't intend to for another little bit longer because I'm having fun and I'm enjoying it.
How many more years are you going to work?
Probably a couple.
Probably two?
Yeah, max. Probably a couple of doing the job I'm doing today. And I can see myself then doing probably another three or four in a consulting role, transitioning down,
right,
as opposed to 60, 70 hours a week down to 20 or 30 or something like.
Do you feel that by not retiring at 65, and this might go for others, that you're taking away someone else's opportunity?
I don't think that. I look at it as a mentoring role. There's one of it in terms of actually doing the job that I do. But at the same time, I enjoy, I'm the only one in the 22 employees that I have running the association. I'm the old dog.
There's a little bit of animosity from the younger generations to say, come on, you guys, keep it going, move along now. It's our turn now, you boomers. You guys have been doing everything and running your lives and changing the world. It's our turn. Give us our shot.
Their shot will come. But that's up to them. Are they ready to take that shot? Many of the younger generation, right, and I'm not talking very young, I'm talking people in the 25 to 35, absolutely, there is always going to be fantastic young people who are ready to grasp that brass ring. But the other side of the coin is the collective, the larger percentage, ready to be responsible for who they are? Are they looking for seeking growth? It's one thing to say I could do that job, but you have to put time in, whether it's 10 years, 5 years. Technology has changed the way we work, right, in terms of the speed with which communications happen, right? And these types of things. Yes, the next generation are brilliant at it, right, probably better than we are, right, or some of the older ones are, let me put it that way.
Sure.
But do I feel I'm taking a job away? No, because I look at the group I've got. I deliberately, every year, every 2 years, hire young graduates out of university and say, hey, do you want a job experience? You'll be working the phones. You're going to do some admin. You've got a degree in this, but we'll groom you. And it doesn't have to be a degree in HR. Arts degree. But take the time to learn some of the basics, because everything is about foundation. If you don't get your foundation right, the future, you'll be building on sifting sands.
There's also this sense of entitlement with some of the younger generation. Maybe not the 40s, the 30s and 40s, but it's coming on where it's like, you know what? If I've hit my glass ceiling here in this corporation right now and I don't see myself progressing here in the next year or two, I'm going to go. I'm going to take the experience. I'm going to go somewhere else. So we'll talk about loyalty. We'll talk about gone are the days of, you know, sticking around with a company and a corporation for 30, 40 mm-hmm. years, and I think we'll agree on that. Also, I got John on the line, who I want to get to as soon as we check in with Gord Vizzuti on the bottom hour news here, right on AM 1150.
Have something to say? Say it to Phil. It's Open Line with Phil Johnson on AM 1150. Call 250-862-2525.
AM 1150 news time is 9:33. It's Tim Walberg in for Phil Johnson on the open line on AM 1150, talking with Simon Evans, CEO of BC's Human Resource Management Association, kind of talking about the workforce and a typical BC worker, which we're going to profile in just a moment, but talking about boomers moving on, hanging around. Gone are the days of you staying with a corporation or a company for 20, 30 years. You get a little itchy, you get a little antsy, you want to try something new, and that seems to be the case with a lot of people maybe in the age 35 to 45. I think they're starting to see other opportunities, and they know that they can kind of bargain their way into certain new situations and new opportunities. Would you say that?
I think there is, but on the other side, you know, there is an opportunity always. I mean, if you're bright, you're whatever function you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's as an administrative position, middle management, somewhere in the union world in terms of going, you know, in that roles, but there is an opportunity. But is it always there? Have you got the right stuff that can? Is it all about bargaining? Is it really about who you are? What is your attitude that you're going to bring to that job, so that they can see that you are going to make a difference? That's the problem.
John on line one. Hi, AM 1150. Hi, John.
Hi. Simon, I want to ask you three questions. Number one, are you under the arm of the provincial government, a branch of it, under the provincial control? Number two, how many people of the 22 under your CEO administration are over $100,000? And is the taxpayer paying this shot? That's all I have to ask. And answer them truthfully. Don't circle the wagon, okay? Thank you.
John, before you go, can you repeat number one again, your question? We missed it on our headphones here. John left. Oh. So, well, we caught his second question. Unfortunately, we missed his first. We just couldn't hear it in the studio here. But, yeah, he wants to know what kind of price you guys are charging the province here. What's it costing us to keep you guys alive?
Zero. We are an independent. We are not. We receive no funding whatsoever unless there is a project that the government says. And in fact, in the 7 years that I've done, we've done a couple, and that's on engagement of foreign workers in terms of finding people and also with disabilities. And those are very, very small one-off things. We receive absolutely no guaranteed funding from any provincial, municipal organization. All the funding of our operation comes from the independent people who are members of the association. They pay annual dues. Mm-hmm. And if they are a certified HR professional, which is the designation like a CGA, CMA, then they pay an extra fee for that.
Fair enough.
And the other part of that question was, how many people of the 22 we've got? There are three people who earn 100,000, plus.
Okay. Now, so they would come to you as in any other client might come to you to use your services, the province would.
When you say service, what we're trying to do as an association is provide the quality and growth and opportunity and the enhancement of the skill set of the HR professionals. Back in sort of nearly 20 years ago, the HR world did not have any professional designation as such, right? And there was a creation with the Canadian Council of HR Associations to have the certified HR professional designation. That has grown now. We've got over 60% of our membership either have that designation today or have passed the first stage of it.
Yeah, because you go to school to be HR.
Yeah, but those things, but it comes back to one of the points I was making earlier in terms of it's up to the individual to take charge of his or her career. Mm-hmm. All we can do is provide the... if they're wanting to be in HR, then fine. We will There's professional development courses. We do conferences. We do symposiums. There's classes they can go. We work with the universities to put together the types of required proficiencies in the universities and the courses and the BCITs and the like. But it falls down on the individual to take responsibility, and goes back to the younger person today. Yes, they've got, may have a degree, it may be a general arts, maybe it's something specific, but there's more to that. There's more about how do you build your career? Do you look at a designation? I think I said earlier, 80% of employees' needs are in the future are going to be people with a degree or post-secondary education or trade skills.
Social media has really changed things, I think, by connecting people from services like LinkedIn to even Twitter. I mean, I see so many. I saw one just moments ago on the Twitter feed saying, you know, anybody know someone perfect for this job? They need a general manager for XXX or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? So it's out there, and it's the opportunity. It's how connected are you? It's really changing, I think, the workforce as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in the old, you know, in my earlier days, it was a Rolodex, you know, a whole bunch of business cards, you know, and I sort of flip through and think about things. But at the same time, you've got those people, you know, today's world is much faster, much fluid, and it happens. But we've noticed, in fact, it's complementary. I find we have a job board for anywhere from 40 to 60 new jobs every month, or replacement jobs in the HR fields for our membership, right? That number doesn't really vary very much, other than when we got into the 2008-2009 recession. Yes, it dropped considerably down. It's probably down to 15 new jobs. I mean, it was just everybody was marking time. But then it's, you know, all those jobs are not all big number jobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's temporary contract positions. This is the other thing, which I think is an opportunity for people who are, they say, well, I want a full-time job. Yes, well, if there isn't one, then how about a contract position? How about looking outside the box that you know, the typical way, which is fine, to find a full-time 40-hour-a-week job, et cetera, et cetera. But look, oh, there's a three-month mat leave. I wonder if I could stand in for that person who's going on a mat leave or a 12-monther. And because that gives you a contracted experience, you can build a resume from it, you can actually get reputation from it, you're going to get appraised if you do a decent job on it. For all you know, you may get hired afterwards because that MAP person doesn't want to come back or decided to stay and be a mum or a dad at full time. And so you go on.
And it's again, networking. And you might meet that next employee or employer at who knows somebody there who clicked with you, who thought you were great and recommend you to somebody else. But it's you're right. It's selling yourself, knowing what you're good at, what your strengths are. And if you've got to sit down with a piece of paper and write it all down to profile yourself, come up with more than one resume if you're looking for a job, and profile that resume towards the job that you're after. So let's do a little forecasting here, if you can, for us, Simon. Forecasting some of the employment trends. And we like to think Kelowna here is isolated, but it's really not. It's part of a valley. It's the Okanagan, and sometimes the numbers get pushed together with the entire Okanagan Valley. So for the Thompson Okanagan, mm-hmm. Major employers, some of the industries that are crucial to our region and our you know, have a big effect on us. How are they coping, and what kind of trends do you see with that?
I think, well, the trend, I'm talking on overarching business. I haven't got individual sectors broken out. I haven't got that here today.
Okay.
But if you look at historically, right, the situation over the last decade, say 10 years plus or minus, you've had a growth rate of about 2.1% of employment in the Thompson Okanagan. That is now dropping. That's going to drop down to about 1.6. And you've been above that. You've been at 2.1 and the provincial one is at 1.6. You're going to move back down a little bit because of the world economy and because of the economics in our province. And that's not to make an excuse for that. That's a reality. You can't change it. We see that probably in the next, you know, couple of years, that is going to be, it will be at a lower level, right? It's going to stay, it won't be quite as buoyant, obviously, because of the economics. But at the same time, companies who have been, you know, and heavens above, the businesses in Kelowna, some have probably profited and done very well. There's a lot of them who are payroll to payroll. Let me make sure I've covered myself. They're going to be cautionary. You know, they say, well, I probably normally might hire an extra person in the summer. I'm just going to wait and see how the business goes. And so they're not overcommitting. So that's part of the cycle why it will drop down. But then you're going to get into the situation where we touched way back in the beginning of our conversation about how the demographics are changing. I mean, the one thing about the Okanagan, Thompson-Okanagan region is that you've got a young population. You've got a, quite a different age banner than you have in the Lower Mainland. I mean, yes, there are young people there, but you've got a higher percentage of younger people here. As the boomers are moving on out, then there's going to be more opportunity and at the same time more growth. Because I think the other thing which is over and above the individual's responsibility, when I look at the work that, and this is, I'm not being political here, I'm being looking at what the regional districts have done, what the municipality, the fact, you know, the vineyard development, right, throughout the whole corridor, right? You've got the airport extension, which was done, right? You know, and I look up to our friends, you know, in Kamloops, and they've got the festival city, and they've got the golf, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that have been infrastructured in here that are creating a fantastic opportunity, because that's one of the other benefits. Why do people want to come and live here? Because it's, that's the kind of place I want to be. I've got my fun areas. I've got, you know, my boating. I've got my skiing. I've got my outdoor recreation. I've got my hiking. I've got all of that kind of stuff. I've got a contrasting of climates. I get a damn good summer and spring, and you get, you know, a chillier winter, but that's fine. I enjoy that.
But the tough part is when a place like this is that you talk about the skiing, you talk about the wine country and the boating and everything else. What you've mentioned there, all of those things, which are great businesses, and it grows the region, they're seasonal. So these jobs, some of them that pop up, are only seasonal. And then what do you do in those shoulder seasons?
Well, that's, you know, I mean, part of it, I know when I was chair of the Tourism HR Association for BC for 6 years, when I was in the restaurant association world. And one of the things we looked at was, how do you job share? How do you take somebody who wants to be on the ski hills in the winter and put them out on the boating world? And, you know, like, try and look at how can you package those things together? And that's more of an issue in terms of, Thompson Okanagan Tourism Association, in terms of looking at those things where you've got two groups of people. Well, hang on, let's try and marry them, or at least get some of them, I don't mean married in quotes. So that there is a fuller time job, right? You know, yeah. I'm not promising 12 months. I'm just saying that those are the, but this is where you have to get creative thinking.
Exactly. The mentality has to really think and think differently from not that old traditional, I got my 9 to 5, and that's all I'm good for, and it'll last me for 20, 30 years, and then I'll retire with a nice cushy pension and 65, and it just doesn't work that way anymore.
No, and I find also one of the things, I agree with you that, but what I'm, one of the points I just wanted to raise, because you triggered the thought a few minutes ago. I look in our association, we've got young people, we have, 7 years ago, we used to have less than 100 student members. Today we have over 600. Why? Because we focused in the universities and the colleges to say, okay, we're going to be a part of your HR club. We're going to do stuff with you. So what we find now is our mentoring program, which used to be a couple of hundred mentees, we're up over 500 or 600 every year, because the younger element, it's not just older to older. They're saying, hey, let me engage with some of the seniors leaders, the boomers or the pre-boomers, right? Because I'm going to learn from them. I'm going to get something from me. And it's those type of opportunities that are all, that's one of the small things that we try to do, to get those people together so that the younger people have an opportunity in the HR field.
Want to find out how the flu season affects a company, the possibilities from working from home with new technology? Can you diverse again and start job sharing and, you know, that sort of thing, what we were just mentioning? We'll continue our conversation if you want to be part of it via phone, 250-862-2525, or email live@am1150.ca. More with Simon Evans, CEO of BC's Human Resource Management Association, after this.
Call 250-862-2525 and speak your mind. It's Open Line with Phil Johnson, only on Kelowna's information station, AM 1150.
You're listening to Open Line with Phil Johnson for Harmony Honda. Always open on the web at harmonyhonda.com.
AM 1150 news time is 9:51. Tim Wahlberg with Simon Evans. I'm sitting in for Phil Johnson. He's back next week, but Simon Evans is in studio with us today, CEO of BC's Human Resource Management Association, talking about BC workers, trends in the employment sectors, and how the HR department in your company has changed a little bit along the way, and what they deal with. on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, we've talked about that typical BC worker, the profile. It's really a huge scope right now. You've got the boomers working longer than ever before, young people trying to make their mark on a new company or a new industry and trying to find their niche, using technology and always thinking about new ways. And it seems that every single person has more than one iron in the fire. And you have to have all those things going at once. You know, someone goes home, oh, I got to go home and do some work. Why? What do you mean? You're here at work. I'm planning on this. I'm trying to write something like this. I'm doing a little bit of tech. I'm doing a little training online on the side as well. It's great. I love it. I mean, I'm into a whole bunch of things. I got so many irons in the fire, I need a new fire.
Well, I'll buy you one. I'll get you one. That's reality. You know, I mean, it's not only just in terms of what you're doing in multitasking on the work.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the next generation, they're multitasking every which way. And also at the same time, you've got young families. I look at my my two children who married. You know, no one gets married at 21 and 22. They're all mm-hmm. getting married at 30, 31. They want to get some foundational stuff done, right? And at the same time, have some fun, et cetera, et cetera,
sure.
right? But, you know, both of those are so busy in terms of not only the social media, keeping in touch with everybody, volunteering here, doing something there. Yes, the two, both, they've got full-time jobs, but he also has another job because, you know, he's a fireman, and firemen have also other trades.
And they have a flexible schedule, which allows them to do.
But at the same time, he was able to. But see, this is what, it wasn't anything to do with me. It was him driving himself as a middle 20-year-old. Back in the days when firemen, you know, you'd put an ad for a fireman in the Vancouver area and you get 5,000 applications.
Yeah.
And then they started, and he said, well, it may take me 5 years. I'm going to do an apprenticeship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's an example. I'm not trying to make him, isn't that fantastic? I'm just saying, he looked at it and said, hey, Dad, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to get my electrical apprenticeship, which he did. Somebody else could have said, well, I want to go and learn about X, whatever X is, whether it's winemaking, you were touching based on, you know,
yeah.
in terms of how to pick grapes properly. I don't know.
Right.
You know, or it could be any particular skill set, you know, that you could, well, that's kind of fun. I want to do that. So coming back to the workforce, right, I think there's a balance between this cross-section. I mean, we all do things. Is it doing it because we want to do it or is it because we have to? There's going to always be some have to, right, because not every single job is perfect, right? But I spend more time when I'm interviewing somebody to join my team. Yes, resumes are all bloody good. I mean, first class,
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10. All I'm really interested in is who are you? What are your values? How are you going to work within the team? Whether it's 5 people, 20 people, whether it's 100 people. What's your leadership? What's your self-confidence? The actual value of what you are going to bring to the table for me on a part-time basis or a full-time basis?
Flu season is here. How does a company deal with people who are sick?
Well, first and foremost, I strongly recommend that every small business and every large business get a community nurse to come in and do a flu clinic. Those shots cost $15 a pop,
mm-hmm.
and it's a best value equation for the health part of it. And I'm not trying to advocate for the medical profession
sure.
here. You know, we in any organization that I've been involved in for many, many years, we've always made sure that get your flu shot. You know, if you get your own doctor to do it, that's fine. Prevention is 90% of it. If you can get it, you know, get that in you, it takes 2 weeks for the shot to work, you know, and get the built up. That's number one. If you don't do that and you start getting flu, then you have no right to come to work.
Mm.
I say right. You have a right if you want to infect everybody
else.
Yeah,
don't spread it around. We've got to keep working here.
And we have a golden rule. If you're ill, stay at home. No ifs, no buts. If it's serious and it becomes more than just a flu bug, and you know, then we've got short-term disabilities and all that kind of thing, right?
5-second answer if you can answer this question. Why is absenteeism at an all-time high in the workforce?
Because everybody is stressed. Everybody thinks there's another job that they'd like to do. And they are so busy being busy that they are looking. And why absenteeism? They'll play hooky.
Well, hey, it's been really fun. Thanks for coming in today, Simon.
My pleasure.
Simon Evans, CEO of BC's Human Resource Management Association, giving us some insight and widening our eyes on the HR department. I'm Tim Wahlberg, sitting in for Phil Johnson. We'll see you tomorrow on AM 1150.